Coming up tonight at 9, not going to have this on WCHL, but on literally every TV station in the world, you'll be able to hear President Barack Obama delivering his last State of the Union speech of his term in office. He says it's going to be a little bit different format this year, not so much a point-by-point plan as a look back at the last 8 years, but we'll hear the details coming up tonight. Ashley DeSena is a conservative from Orange County. We're not going to talk about the State of the Union today, although she's joining us here on State of the Union Day, because we haven't heard the speech yet. There's spin doctors on both sides that are already concocting talking points, praising or criticizing a speech. They don't even know what the content
is. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. Oh, man.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I was lucky enough to be, when I was in Washington, D.C., when I was in college, I was interning for a news outlet there and had the chance to be at the Capitol building for State of the Union Day in the year 2000. So it was Clinton's last State of the Union address. But the whole day long, you're walking around and there's rooms devoted to, there's a Democratic room and there's a Republican room. And I'm sure there's multiples of both where legislators, congressmen and senators will just sort of walk in and out and sit down with reporters and whoever happens to be in the room and talk about the speech. They have no idea what's in it.
Yeah, no, I've seen that just following Twitter today. Yeah. They're talking about like who's already been interviewed, what their thoughts on the speech are. Yeah. And it's just how.
So literally everything you're going to hear on the cable news networks after the speech is done from either side is being made up on the spot right now. And they're just going to try to tailor it to what the actual words were. So keep that in mind if you're listening at...
They're just going to fill in the blanks.
They're just going to fill in the blanks, at 10:30 or whatever tonight that the spin doctors go out into the room. So we're going to talk about a speech that President Obama has already given, and it's been a week or two since he gave the speech.
Last week.
It was last week, right, that he delivered his address on guns and issued the 10-point plan. So we're talking about guns and gun control and gun rights today. It feels like it's been more than a week, right?
I don't know. Yeah. No, but it was only on the 4th or 5th.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
In which he lays out a 10-point plan to executive orders, essentially, to add to existing gun control legislation. Basically, you can break it down to four. Additional background checks, additional FBI examiners to process background checks and enforce existing gun laws, research into smart gun technology, and additional $500 million for mental health care. And there's a few other planks in the platform as well. Before we get into the issue in general, Ashley, what's your take on the actual plan itself? Without talking about the process of doing it via executive order, just the plan itself.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
No, Ole, I listened to the speech last week, and I was expecting something more dramatic, more far-reaching than what actually rolled out. So, you know, from my perspective, I suppose you could say I was pleasantly surprised, but it sounds like most of it is just going to reach for better enforcement of what's already on the books.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, aside from the part where we're still not sure what being in the business of selling firearms actually means, and then some concern about, you know, who and who is not mentally capable of having a firearm. Aside from those two things, it all sounded pretty run-of-the-mill.
Yeah, and I do think mental health advocates do have a good point in saying, you know, every time you have a lone gunman who commits a shooting, everyone always jumps to mental illness and, oh, we need to keep guns away from the mentally ill. But there are a lot of people in America who suffer from mental illness and are getting treatment and are not in any way a danger. So I'm not sure that's not a red herring just to begin with. But
Right. And there's a process for that.
Yes,
you know, you have mental illness, a type of hearing, you know, to determine whether or not you're capable of owning a firearm or not. So
we're speaking with Ashley DeSena, Orange County Conservative. So how we're talking about the gun control issue or the gun rights issue, and I always have a difficulty listening to people talking about the issue because it's irritating to me for a variety of reasons, one of which is the fact that both sides, and I think the pro-gun side is a little bit worse on this, but both sides are both guilty of just taking it absolutely for granted and assuming that we're in the midst of this horrible, violent crime wave, and we either need to enact pieces of legislation to reduce guns, or we're in the middle of this Hobbesian state of nature where you can't take five steps outside your house without getting robbed unless you're locked and loaded. And it's not just that we're not in the middle of a violent crime wave. The violent crime rate is historically low right now.
Right.
Like,
it is.
It is lower than it has been in – my dad was born – he's not listening, I don't think. he's in Michigan. It's okay. My dad was born in 1951. He's going to be 65 this year. Statistically, he is safer this – right now than he has ever been in his life.
Wow.
Like, going back
to – I didn't know that.
Going back to the day when Lucy getting pregnant was the most risque thing on TV, the violent crime rate was higher then. It's ridiculous, and we're talking about this. But
yeah. No, that is really interesting. I've seen a lot of figures about how much crime has declined since the mid-1990s,
yes.
But it sounds like it's been on a downward trend for longer than that.
Yeah, it spiked. It was basically where I've looked this up recently, and especially around this issue. It was back in the 50s, it was about where it is now, and then it started to spike in the 60s and really spiked in the 70s and then dropped a little bit for like a couple of years and then went back up again. And then, ever since like the 80s into the 90s, it's been dropping. And it's back now to where it was in 1950. And I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's headed in the right direction.
Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to gun control legislation, because we're talking about preventing crime, but we've also got to talk about preventing accidents and preventing variety of other gun-related tragedies. How far is too far when it comes to actual gun control? So we do have the Second Amendment on the books. It's not an absolute right. You can't bear nuclear arms, but it is an individual right to bear arms. So what is the line? How far is too far?
Oh, gosh. Well, I probably varies from person to person almost. I am intrigued by so-called smart gun technology, because, of course, even the most avid gun enthusiast wants guns to be as safe as possible without, impeding their usage in an emergency. When you need it to work, you don't want some kind of safety feature to hang up on you. But I think that, what I have noticed is just adding more people that will not pass a background check. In other words, the no-fly, no-buy, taking people on the terrorist watch list and, don't pay attention to due process of law that we're supposed to have. We just need to take these people who may do something wrong and prevent them from having guns. And then also people who, may or may not have a mental health problem, and just expanding that list of people who will not pass a background check. I think the more that bloats, the more I get concerned, because that is a background checks are not a bad thing. I'm not against background checks, but that could be the means by which people are prevented from purchasing firearms.
Okay, and so. I think you're right about the no fly list, because there's something to be said for the argument that, well, if you're not allowed to fly, then why are you allowed to buy a gun? But at the same time, there are so many people on that list who should not be on that list to begin with.
Right,
it's been
right.
a problematic thing since day
it's
one.
It's very secretive and arbitrary and hard to get off of. It's hard to appeal. So, it's if it wasn't all of those things, and if you're talking about people who had actually committed crimes as determined in a court of law, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. But, because no right is absolute. It's exactly what you said. I mean, we have a means by which people are deprived of their right to own a firearm. Felons, for example, they can't own them, and that's an example of how this right is not absolute. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're speaking with Ashley DeSena. We're talking about gun control, because that's the speech that President Obama gave that we can actually respond to, as opposed to the one that he's going to give that everyone's responding to today without hearing it. If everyone was removed and you were in control, what would your action be on guns? And we have to let you go, so I'm gonna let you get the last word on this.
Oh my gosh! Wow. if I was president or if I just got to do anything I wanted to.
Oh, that's a good question, because I don't know.
Well, I think that I would not focus on assault rifles because those are so used so few instances in committing gun violence that the FBI doesn't even keep track of them in a separate category. I mean, more people are killed by hammers every year. Mm-hmm. And instead, focus on, you know, just the plain old violence that's caused with handguns. A lot of times in the inner city, I mean, half of the people who are die by gun violence or by homicides, to be more specific, every year are African American people who live in cities. And so I think that that's where our attention as a nation could be focused.
All right. Sounds good. So, Ashley DeSena, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're going to be watching the State of the Union tonight?
Of course, yeah.
That puts you one up on me.
I'll at least listen.
I always read the transcript afterwards. It's a lot quicker.
Yeah, that's true, without applauding after every line.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Ashley, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.